Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a VHS rave stab that feels warm, worn, and a little unstable, like it was pulled off a dusty sampler, a tape deck, and dropped straight into an old-school jungle track. The goal is not just to make it gritty. The goal is to make it move, breathe, and still hit clean in a modern Ableton Live 12 mix. If you've ever heard those classic jungle and old-school DNB records where the stab sounds bright, euphoric, and slightly broken all at once, that's the vibe we're chasing. It should feel alive, but not messy, characterful, but not fighting your kick, snare, sub, or reese. So let's start with the source. You want a stab that already has some harmonic weight, a clean rave chord, a sampled stab, or a short synth hit with a strong mid-range works best. If you're making it from scratch, use something like analog, wavetable, or a resampled chord and simpler. Keep it short. We're talking a punchy hit, not a pad. If the release is too long, shorten it. If it feels too thin, layer another stab, maybe an octave higher or lower, but keep the energy focused in the mids. Before you start adding grit, clean up the raw sound a bit. That's an important mixing move, because the effects chain will react better if the source is already behaving. If you're using audio and simpler, classic mode can give it that sample-like feel. Trim the start so the transient lands immediately. If the stab has unwanted low end, use a QA to high pass it gently around the low mid area, maybe somewhere between 120 and 180 Hz depending on the source. If it needs more bite, a small boost in the 1.5 to 3 kHz range can help it speak before the tape style processing starts. Now we get into the VHS movement. Add auto filter after the source. This is where the stab starts to feel like it's been played back through worn hardware. A low-pass 24 or band-pass filter usually works nicely. Set the cutoff somewhere that still lets the stab breathe, maybe around 1.8 to 6 kHz, and add just a little resonance. You do not want a whistling, exaggerated filter effect. You want a slow, musical drift. Think of it like the sample is aging in real time. If you've got Max for Live Modulation tools, great. If not, simple automation and arrangement view works just fine. Try moving the cutoff over a few bars instead of making it wobble too fast. A slow open and close across a 4 or 8 bar phrase can sound incredibly authentic. That little bit of instability gives the stab a sampled, human quality. One of the best tricks here is to let the cutoff dip slightly on the last stab of a phrase. That makes the whole loop feel like it's breathing. Next, add saturator. This is where the warmth turns into tape-style grit. Start with a modest drive, maybe plus 2 to plus 6 dB, and turn on soft clip if needed. The key is to add density and rounding, not obvious distortion. If the stab gets too fizzy, back off the drive and trim the output so you're level matching with the bypassed signal. That part matters. Don't be fooled by loudness. Sometimes louder just feels better, even when the tone isn't actually improving. If you want a slightly more old sampler kind of feel, you can follow saturator with a very light glue compressor. Just a touch. We're talking maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction at most. A ratio of 2 to 1, a medium attack, and auto-release can help glue the transient and body together. This is one of those places where a little compression can make the stab feel more expensive and more controlled, especially in a busy jungle mix. Now for the unstable tape character. A VHS-style stab usually benefits from small imperfections layered together, not one giant effect. So think subtle pitch drift, slight stereo movement, and maybe a hint of chorus or frequency shifting. If you use frequency shifter, keep it extremely gentle. If you resample the stab into simpler, tiny pitch automation or tiny detune offsets can do a lot. Even a few cents can create motion. Chorus ensemble can also work, but keep it low. You're not trying to make a lush 90s trance pad. You're trying to create that slightly blurred, worn playback vibe. A really important point here. The movement should not feel perfect. Real tape doesn't wobble in a clean loop. It drifts unevenly. So if you automate pitch or filter movement, don't make it too regular. Let some hits feel a little more degraded than others. That inconsistency is part of the charm. Stereo control is the next big piece, especially in drum and bass. VHS style processing can get wide very quickly, and wide does not always mean better. In DNB, if the stab becomes too wide in the wrong frequency range, it can start stepping on the snare or smear the bass line. Use utility to keep the width under control. If the sound feels too broad, pull it back into the 70 to 90% range. If you want width, try to keep it mostly in the higher mids and highs, not in the lower mids where your mix needs focus. A smart way to handle that is with an audio effect rack. Split the stab into two chains if you want more control. On one chain, keep the low mid body more mono and focused. On the other, let the higher layer be wider and a little more processed. That way you get the VHS sparkle and motion without wrecking the center of the mix. This is classic thinking layers design. One layer holds the punch. The other layer provides the character. Now add some space, but keep it tight. This should feel like old hardware and a little room, not a massive wash. A short reverb on a return track can do wonders, especially a small room or plate style with a short decay. Keep the low end filtered out of the reverb. A short tempo synced echo can also work beautifully if you darken the repeats and keep the feedback low. The trick is to use sends sparingly and automate them when you want drama. Let the stab bloom a little more at the end of a phrase, then pull it back when the drums need space again. At this point, if the stab is feeling good, resample it. This is one of the best ways to get an authentic old-school result. Resampling commits all the movement, saturation, filtering, and imperfect motion into a new audio file. It stops sounding like a clean synth patch and starts sounding like an artifact. Drag that new audio back into a track or into simpler, and now you can slice it, reverse little tails, pitch parts of it down, or layer it with the original. That's where the magic gets really fun. In an actual jungle arrangement, this stab should have a role. Don't just throw it everywhere. In the intro, you might use filtered fragments with delay to tease the main idea. In the build, you can open the filter over 4 or 8 bars to create tension. In the drop, the stab can answer the breakbeat, hit offbeats, or act as a call and response accent against the bass line. In the breakdown, a longer reverb tail or more degraded version can create contrast. One of the most effective old-school moves is to let the stab change slightly every phrase. Maybe the first 8 bars are cleaner, then the second pass is darker and more saturated. Maybe the last hit before the loop resets gets a little more cutoff movement or a touch more grit. Those little changes make the arrangement feel alive. That's very jungle. It feels like the track is being edited in motion. Now let's talk mix. This is the part where a lot of people go too far. Check the stab against the full beat and bass, not just in solo. If it masks the snare around 2 to 5 kHz, carve a little space with a Q8. If it's muddy around 250 to 500 Hz, take a small dip there. If there's unnecessary low end, high pass it. In a D&B mix, the kick and sub are sacred. The stab should support the groove and the atmosphere, not compete with the foundation. Also, check mono. If the stab only sounds good because of stereo effects, it's going to fall apart in club systems or on smaller speakers. A strong stab should still read clearly in mono, even if the width softens. If it disappears, that usually means the harmonic content isn't strong enough, or the processing is leaning too hard on stereo tricks instead of solid tone. A few common mistakes to watch out for. Don't overfilter the stab until it becomes thin and anonymous. Don't drive the saturation so hard that it turns into harsh fizz. Don't overwiden the stereo image, especially in the lower mids. And definitely don't let the reverb fog up the drop. In dark D&B, space is important, but clarity is what makes the drums hit. Here's a really useful teacher tip. Think of this sound as layers of instability. One small filter drift, one tiny pitch offset, one touch of saturation, one restrained stereo movement. Those little moves add up. If you try to use one giant effect to fake the whole tape character, it usually sounds phatic. The believable stuff is usually built from several tiny imperfections working together. If you want to push it further, try making 3 versions of the same stab. One clean punch version for the more focused moments. One warm worn tape version with subtle filter motion and saturation. And one darker, more damaged version for transitions and fills. Then place them in different parts of a 16-bar loop. That kind of variation makes the arrangement feel like it's evolving instead of repeating. So to recap, start with a strong mid-range stab. Shape it before processing, use auto filter and saturator to build the VHS warmth, add subtle pitch or stereo instability, keep the width under control, resample the result, and then place it in the arrangement with intention. In the end, the best of old-school D&B stabs are gritty, warm, slightly unstable, and still mix clean. That's the sweet spot, that's the vibe, and when you get it right, the stab doesn't just sit in the track, it tells the track where to go.